It is 93.7 WEEI. Let the Gojira drop. Oh, what a great band. Rich, Ken, and Christian Arcan here for the rest of the show. What's up, Christian?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing fantastic. You came in and the first thing you said is, I'm still shell-shocked.
I am. I cannot believe the Bucks did this. I just can't get over it. I really can't. I'm mad at Brad Stevens for not getting the job done, but I also feel like the Celtics offer was so much better than Miami's offer that I can't stay mad at Brad Stevens for making the better offer, you know? Like, that's, I just can't believe the Bucks okayed this.
You're not a Jaime Jaquez Jr. fan?
Or? I mean, he's an all right player, sure, but what they're doing is basically putting everything off until those draft picks hit. These players they got are not good players. Mm-hmm. It's all about those draft picks. They start in, what, 2033? So mm-hmm. you're trying to
31.
Sell your 31. All right, so that's 5 years. If two of them hit by, like, 35, that's a 10-year rebuild you're talking about, as opposed to Jaylen Brown, who just took Derek White and Peyton Pritchard to the 2 seed. Like, I cannot believe that that's the way they went. I'm shocked.
Well, Christian, I was saying earlier that, first of all, if you're a Bucks fan, how pissed are you right now? You don't have Giannis and you don't have Jaylen, and
yeah.
you basically have a bag of hammers. But
Tyler Hero.
You're right, Tyler Hero. Hometown boy. But the one thing that I do find interesting in all this, and it's the most interesting angle in all of this, is that from the New York Times article, they do say that Jaylen Brown sent some sort of signal in the last, like, couple of weeks that he would be a player under duress if he ended up going to the Milwaukee Bucks. In other words, he told somebody that if I'm there, I'm not signing an extension, and I certainly will not be all in the way you want me to be, and that scared Jimmy Haslam away. So as far as I don't know whether if they would have thrown in Hugo Gonzalez or Baylor Shireman, whether that would have even made a difference. It sounds like they were very scared of Jay, which, by the way, scares me as a Celtics fan, that he can control the narrative and also control, you know, what teams he goes to and potentially get you less in a trade back if you're Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and if they wanted to just completely move, if they really wanted the draft picks, then I guess the logic of we can get more draft picks for Giannis than for Jaylen does track. Like, that does make sense. But the draft picks in that far into the future, as opposed to even if Jaylen Brown's under duress, he's under contract through 2029, you know? So, like, yeah. Be under duress, you know? Like, that's what the Celtics may end up having to do, is deal with this player under duress who doesn't want to sign an extension. But I just can't imagine a scenario where that's not as good of a plan as maybe the Heat being bad in 2031. Like, that's crazy to me.
Well, somebody who knows so much about the game of basketball and all the workings all around and behind the scenes, we love having him on. Jeff Goodman from Field of 68. Jeff, what's happening, man? Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys? How are you?
shell-shocked if you're my friend Christian over here. When you heard this news about the Giannis trade and obviously them not going with Jaylen Brown, what did you think when you first heard this news?
That Brad stuck to his guns, which I knew he would. Like, Brad is not, he's not somebody that's going to, you know, you're going to get him emotional, that you're going to get him where he's playing defense. Like, it's just not him. Like, he's got a method to everything he does. He thinks it through. He's looking at plan A, plan B, plan C. And in this case, it was, hey, listen, I'm not going to overpay. Yes, Giannis is better than Jaylen Brown. We all know that. But, like, I'm not going to give up too much and hurt this franchise. And obviously he likes Gonzalez. And, you know, we saw snippets of that last year. And I've seen Baylor Shireman for years since he's back at South Dakota State in the NCAA tournament. And I think he can be a really good rotation guy. You know, we forget, too, that, like, those guys, you want to keep them in your organization because generally they're going to get better every year. They're going to get used to Missoula. They're going to get used to playing with Tatum next year, which obviously Gonzalez didn't, and Baylor Shireman's played with him for a year. So, like, those guys aren't going to be frontline players ever, but if they can be good enough to be your, you know, Pritchard's your six, if you got, you know, those guys are good enough to be 7, 8, and 9, okay, we got to find something, though, here better than Sam Hauser and Nemes Keita.
But Jeff, there's a lot of people, a lot of Celtics fans, who were shocked when they found out that Brad wouldn't put Hugo Gonzalez in there and Baylor Shireman. And and it just goes to show, as you were saying, how much Brad Stevens values those two guys. But we don't know. Like, what do you think Hugo Gonzalez, like, what is his ceiling? Like, what does Brad see that he can become?
I have no idea. honestly, I haven't talked to Brad about him. I've seen a little bit. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be a starter. I think, you know, Brad's whole thing is, hey, these are potential either good pieces on the team or trade bait down the road. And I don't want to give them up for nothing. Yeah. I don't want to give them up for nothing. Now, for me, Giannis isn't nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they were just trying to get as much as they could, which is smart. You know, if you're John Horst in Milwaukee, you need to be able to do that. I also think this is a better move for the Bucks to go to Miami and try a real rebuild. Because, like, if you're getting Jalen, you're in the same spot next year that you were in this past year and the year before in Milwaukee, right? You're middle. And there's no worse place to be than middle. And now you're not going to get free agents. You weren't anyway in Milwaukee. But you're certainly not, I don't think, with Jalen there. You have a better shot with attracting one to play with Giannis than Jalen. So for Milwaukee, I think this was also something that if you were John Horst, the GM there, you were thinking, like, this is probably the best scenario for us. Even though we're not getting a big-time player, we're getting enough good pieces, and we've got some draft assets now.
Jeff, do you lean more to the side of the Celtics have decided they need a shakeup, like their team's not good enough, or Yes. Do you think it was just Giannis? Oh, so you think that another move's coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think 100% Brad knows this team isn't good enough to beat, you know, two teams in the West and one in the East right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, I think he feels like they can go toe-to-toe with, but you know, again, now after winning a title a few years ago, you're not playing just to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. You're trying to maximize what you have. And if you have two of the top – and I think the other part is, again, Brad is a savvy businessman in some senses, and you always want to deal, you know, at a position of power, and Jalen Brown's draft stock will never be higher. Not draft stock. His trade value will never be higher than it is today.
So Jeff, you've covered Brad Stevens for a long time, and you kind of know how he works. In a situation like this, let's say he gets a call from Jalen Brown, or maybe Brad is proactive and called him before all this went down. What is that conversation like when your name is so publicly thrown around in trade rumors and then it doesn't go through?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. Brad's really good with people. He's non-confrontational. That's the one thing I'd say, but he's fairly direct. He's just not, you know, he's pretty emotionless in a lot of ways, right? So I think there probably was a conversation, you know, a week or two ago, because there was nothing in public that Brad said that, frankly, was, you know, before, over the years, he would come out and basically say, we love Jalen, this, that, and the other. We don't want to trade him. This time there was none of that. So I think there was certainly some conversations from what I've been told between the two. You know, but I think if you're Jalen, and I'm sure he's not thinking this way, but if you're Jalen, in a way, you should be flattered. The fact that you're in conversations with, you know, a top five player in the NBA and Giannis.
Jeff, with the anti-tanking stuff that's going to be enacted next year, I just can't believe Milwaukee did this. What you just said made sense in the sense of they're not really close in terms of future assets, but you're talking about, you know, pick swaps and unprotected. The Heat, first of all, have to be bad for that to even work, and there's no guarantee of that. And the Bucks could have had a legitimate building block in Jalen Brown. I can't understand how they can sell that to their fans, because it's Jalen Brown or a 10-year rebuild, and they go for the 10-year rebuild. That just seems crazy to me.
And the other thing, and people don't know this, but I've you know, I still cover a lot of the AAU events. I went out to one last week with like the top players in the 2027 class, right? So this class, this freshman class this year in college isn't very good. It's not very good. There's one guy, kid Tyron Stokes, going to Kansas, and after that, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Next year's maybe the worst class I've seen in 25 years.
Oh, whoa, man.
25 years into it. Wow. So what I'm trying to tell you is, this year's draft, tonight's draft, is the one. And then for the next 2 years, nobody's going to want to tank, because it's not, unless the international group, and a lot of the top international guys have come over and will play in college. So that's the benefit, I guess. But from a U.S. standpoint, from a homegrown standpoint, these next two classes are not worth tanking for.
Jeff, tonight, like where does the – drop-off happen? Like, what number does it go from being an excellent player to an okay player?
There's a drop after the first three. The first three, I think, you know, are different, right? Devonta, Peterson, and Boozer. And then Caleb Wilson is really good at four. But I think it goes 1 to 3, then a drop-off from, like, 4 to 10, then another drop-off from, like, 11 to 15, mm-hmm. and then it's just okay at the back end. The second half of the first round is just okay. It's not nearly as powerful. And even the guards from 5 to 9, there's going to be probably 5 guards go off the board from 5 to 9. They're really good, but they all have their weaknesses. Like, people talked about, like, this draft, like it's the greatest draft in the history of drafts. It's very good. It's very good. But again, where it's different than it's been over the last couple of years is, you know, you've got 3 guys that teams think have a chance to be frontline NBA All-Stars. And then you got a bunch of other guards that, again, have a chance. Most people think all those guys, you know, Mykael Brown Jr., Keaton Wagler, Darius Acuff, Kingston Flemings, Braden Burris, all 5 of them have a chance to be an All-Star. So, like, the average amount of All-Stars among the top 10 picks in the last 25 years is like 2.5. I could see there being 4, maybe even 5, and there haven't been 5 NBA All-Stars in any draft since 2000 wow. among the top 10 picks. I could see that happening out of this draft.
Wow.
Jeff, you tweeted about an hour ago that you know the Celtics have been fans of Trey Murphy for years. Can you sell us on that? Get us excited about a possible Trey Murphy trade.
I don't know what else it would involve, but, man, Trey Murphy, he's a guy that, again, came into the league a little bit unheralded. He was a mid-first-round pick out of Virginia. He started his career at Rice as kind of a 3-and-D type guy, but can do a lot more than that now. And, you know, he's been with the Pelicans, so nobody's really paid attention to what he did. But he's a versatile, you know, 6'8". Wing who can score. I mean, he averaged more than 20 a game last year. He was efficient. He could shoot the 3. He can pass it. You know, high IQ dude. Like, again, I'm not saying he's a top 10 player, but, like, I think if he's on the board and you can get him. Now, again, the problem with the Celtics is, like, what do they have? If you're not trading Jaylen Brown, what do you really have? What do you have that you're going to trade? I mean, Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing because of his contract that probably has the most value. But, like, and it'd probably be a 3-team trade because, you know, the Pelicans, what else are you getting from them? They're not trading Derek Queen, who they just drafted last year, Jeremiah Fears. Those are guys they're going to probably try to build around. And Zion, I wouldn't even want Zion at this point.
Well, they got to figure out something because, I mean, you heard Windhorst said it best yesterday. He was saying that, you know, the Celtics took a look at this team and were like, we can't beat the Knicks. Like, we're just, let's get real. Right. We got to make some major changes. We can't beat the Knicks.
Yeah, and I think Brad knew that. If you listen to Brad in the final press conference of the year, it was clear as day. He was saying to everybody, which is really rare. Like, I watched that back and I was like, man, I've never heard Brad so honest. Now, he's always honest, but he's gonna be careful of what he says to the media. And he was clear as day of like, hey, I know we're not good enough, and we got to make some real changes here. And that's not, you know, Baylor Shireman changes or Sam Hauser changes. That's going to be something bigger. And, you know, I heard Windhorst too, and everybody seems to think Jalen's going to be out the door today or soon. I would say this. I agree. I think the odds are probably in favor of Jaylen Brown not being in Boston long term, but I also know Brad well enough to know he's not going to do a deal unless he thinks he's getting the better of that. He's not going to just get rid of Jaylen tonight because the draft is tonight and he feels like he's got to do it, or else he's got to deal with Jaylen coming back, you know, into the facility soon. I think he would be fine with, hey, listen, I'll bring him back and I'm going to wait and I'll wait till the trade deadline if I have to, but I'm going to make sure I get full value for Jaylen Brown.
And he's going to draw a line, and that line is Baylor Shireman, we have learned. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming out with us, man, and tonight's going to be a good night. I don't know. Will Jaylen Brown still be on the Celtics by the end of the evening? No, none of us know. It's a bidding war apparently going on behind the scenes as we speak. But, Jeff, Field of 68, you can read him. It's at Jeff Goodman Hoops, correct? Is that right?
Goodman Hoops.
Yep. At Goodman Hoops. Yep. You can check him out and follow him on the socials. Jeff, thanks for coming out with us. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, appreciate it. By the way, there's some people who are really pissed off at Brad Stevens. We will get to that. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.